blessing, right, to have you in Penang and your team. It was so good right now. Before I go to message proper right now, I do not know how many of you stay up yesterday night or till midnight. Anyone here? Yes? Or you slept through? Okay, all right now. Or some of you slept through and you wake up, you almost fall out from your bed. Now, we're going to pray for our nation. God's not like that, all right? Now, Psalms 47 says, God reigns over the nation. God is seated on His holy throne. So whatever that take place, God is on His throne. He's not going to, and fell down from His throne. Okay, all right now. Shall we pray? Lord, thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, we want to commit our nation before You. Yesterday was the day, Lord, that Malaysia decides. And Father, all the more when we look at the news, it seems like Malaysia is more divided. But Father God, we're going to trust You because You are our God. And You always say, Lord, in Psalms that You reigns over the nation. God is seated on His throne. Even before that, you always say, sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises to our God who is the King all over the earth. Father, that's where, Lord, our part, Lord, is to pray for our nation. Forever government, Lord, establish, Father, that You establish three things on this earth. You establish marriage, that's why we have family. You establish the institution of church. That's why, Lord, we have spiritual family. And Father, You instituted, okay, the government. Father, today we commit our nation before You, our leaders, Lord, in the next few days, Lord. Father, how they're going to come together. And I pray, Lord, that wisdom upon them and we'll believe, oh God, Lord, righteousness, okay, will reveal. In Jesus' name I pray, everyone say, amen. Amen. All right, give Jesus a big hand. Amen. Everybody love Malaysia. Yes, all right. Now, this morning, I want to bring greetings, okay, from every nation, Church Penang. Today, while I was standing there, I'm looking at, wow, so many new faces that I have not met, all right? And when I look on the stage, I think I only know four of them on stage just now. It's like, maybe I just know 40% of you right now. Okay, so it's here. All right, now, let me just play with it, huh? Okay, all right. Okay, now, I'll bring greetings from every nation. Okay, Penang, all right? So, some of you do not know what's happening in Penang. So, I'll just show a picture. Right? That one is our main service at the center, all right, in the center. During a pandemic, okay, I find that we need to have, okay, a church downtown in Georgetown because we are all at the South New USM. So, that's our Georgetown service. Recently, Pastor Tim and myself, I'm going around now. Pastor Tim and myself, okay, we went to Alostar. So that was the service that we have, okay, in Alostar. All right, so just to give a glimpse, okay, what's happening, okay, in Penang, all right, now. Neil, okay, so I told him, anyone comes to Penang, okay, you are not limited to eat one plate of char kway teow. If you can eat 10 plates, okay, I'll buy you 10 plates, okay. All right, praise the Lord. But this morning, I haven't had my char kway teow yet. Okay, anyway, I also would like to introduce, okay, my family. Okay, that is, okay, wrong button. Okay, my family. Nowadays, it's very hard, okay, for me and my wife, okay, to take a family photo. This was during one of our trip, okay, where Australia, all right, opens borders. My wife said, quickly, okay, we got to fly now. Okay, we'll fly this week. You change all your schedule. I was like, how? All right, so she bought a ticket, so we flew, all right, to Brisbane. Let me introduce my family. Okay, my eldest son is David. He got married in 2020, just before pandemic. Okay, she's Dorothy. So I'm a father-in-law now, right now. Everything, whether I'm going to be a grandfather or not. All right, now, very soon from now. My second son, that's Derek. Derek lives in Melbourne. The both of them are working, okay, waiting for my second son, okay, to marry. All right, now. Still available. Okay, then my wife sitting here. Mio, okay, let's give her a big hand. And of course, my youngest, okay, that's Deborah. She's 14 years old. She's right now at the opposite block, that's NX, okay, with the teens. All right, so that's my family. Now, I'm going to preach a message this morning. I know with the short time that I have, all right, Neil was saying that Pastor GP will preach shorter, all right. Let's see how it goes. Now, every year I know that somehow in the month of November, okay, we do a series, okay, on finance or stewardship and all those. Just before that, I want to say thank you, okay, to Pastor Tim. Pastor Tim right now in Surabaya, if he's watching us, okay, and all those who are watching online. All right, now. So, when we think about a message on stewardship, finance, and money, all right, now, That is to help us to align ourselves, okay? Everything that we do, we align ourselves, the finances that we have, so that, okay, we align to what God has called us, okay, to do. In that sense, okay, with the principle given, okay, that you make better decision and fewer, okay, regrets. Now, in Penang as well, I also do a series, all right, on finance, okay, that I want to relate to y'all as well. You have just finished, okay, you have just finished a message, what Jesus said about money, all right? So when you think about this series, in your mind will be what? It's a series that talks about money. And it's very sensitive to talk about money in a church. Okay, tell your neighbor left and right, pastor is probably going to talk about money. Okay, right now. When we think about that, or this money in our mind, all right, I don't know how many of you have prayed prayer like this. God, I'm in trouble. Lord, give me money. How many of you prayed this prayer before? No, you don't pray this prayer. Okay, thank you for your honesty. You know, we go through life differently, okay? Sometimes we come from a family that we have so much, we don't bother about even looking at an account, all right? I'm sure you have friends that salary that comes in, they don't even go to the, nowadays don't go to the ATM, you don't even log in to see how much you have, okay? Some of us grew up in a family called the not enough money family, all right? So every single thing that you will check, every single you write down, how much you spend a day and all those, I was, okay, from a family that's not enough money, all right now. So when you think about praying for money, but when God bless, and it's a time for you to give, what do? God, you gave me everything, but this one you don't touch. Now, I was took my children, my boys, okay, for, Daddy, I'm so hungry, all right? So what do you want? I want French fries. So we drove by, okay, McDonald's, all right, and get the French fry. How big you want? You want small, large, extra large, okay, extra large, extra large. Okay, have the French fries comes into the car. Okay, as I go, I want to take one. It's mine. Hey, my money leh, one only. Well, sometimes we are like that, right? So when God blesses and we just refuse, okay, to give to the building of the kingdom of God. Now, isn't it true when we think about this? It's about money, but it's not about the money. Isn't it strange? It's about the money, but it's not about the money. Now, let me unpack for you. How many of us here, husband and wife, okay, even with your every level of relationship that you have, all right? Now, in every relationship, there's always argument. Misunderstanding. How, for me, of course, for us as pastors, sometimes we counsel with people, we talk to people and all those. Sometimes it's just quarrel, argue for things that doesn't really matter. How many of you quarrel about the washing machine? washing machine. These clothes cannot go into the washing machine. These clothes was hand wash. Okay, if it goes in, you come out, gone. We were traveling in... Miss Prince recently, for the first time, we are looking at this dryer, you know. So we were testing the dryer, couldn't hang the clothes outside, right? So we put in 1 hour, couldn't dry. So my wife, 2 hours, couldn't dry. 3 hours, couldn't dry. The next wash, how many hours? 10 hours, full blast. My wife just bought a jeans for my daughter. So after wash came out, ew. The jeans has become so small. We quarrel over marriage. Sometimes you go buy, okay, 50-inch TV, 70-inch TV, and we fight over that. But at the end of the day, you realize it's not about a TV. It's not about a washing machine, right? It's about the relationship. It's about a heart issue. Okay, sometimes you think about it's the money, but it's not about the money, although money is so, okay, important to each and every one of us, all right? Now, next. I'm going to entitle it, it's called The Ability to Produce Wealth. Now, this is not praised by me, but you think about this, it's just to give you a catch, right? Wow, pastor's going to talk about, I'm going to have this ability, this power, okay, to produce wealth. But this verse is found in the Bible, and it's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Wow, this 818, huh? If you are Chinese people, okay, this fat, yeah, fat, lah. If you buy a car, also must be alpha lah. Okay, so this is the verse. Okay, it says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your ancestor as it is today. So this phrase is there, the ability to produce wealth. Now this is from the book of Deuteronomy. All right, who wrote the book of Deuteronomy? And that is none other than Moses. So when Moses was writing this, he has this keyword called remember. Say with me, remember. So we're going to talk about why Moses, okay, tell the people, okay, that this phrase, he said, guys, you have this ability to produce wealth. Tell your neighbor left and right, you have the ability to produce wealth. In case you do not know, lah, okay, today you discover, all right? Now, there's a bit about Deuteronomy, okay, to give you a context. Okay, the author is none other than Moses. In fact, it's the fifth book, okay, of your Bible. So first is the Genesis, then followed by Exodus, then Numbers, then Leviticus. The fifth one, Deuteronomy. Tell your neighbor, high five. Please read Deuteronomy if you have not. Okay, Deuteronomy means it's the second reading of the law. So when you read Deuteronomy, I thought it was written in Exodus. I thought it was written here. So Deuteronomy is the second reading of the law, which means when you read that, you can see God's covenant inside there. And it's also known as the Book of Remembrance, because as you read, you go in circle, okay? Remember, 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 remember. So today, after you go home, the key word, you go back, remember. All right. True, right? Every time you go home, you don't remember the message anymore. So remember, huh? So you only go home, remember this word, remember, but the rest you don't remember. Okay, now. Five things I want to talk about. What does it mean when God says, or what does it mean when Moses telling the Israelites, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth? So I'm going to tell you five things, all right? Five areas that all of us should remember, all right? Now, the first one is that the Lord has a covenant. The God has given us a promise. Okay, of course, in this context, God has given this promise to the children of Israel. All right, now, when we say this, I'll probably repeat again. Moses was writing Deuteronomy. It's his fifth book, which is his last writing to the children of Israel. Okay, so now Moses has come to a place that the new generation is now going to enter the promised land. All right, now, with that, the old generation, okay, are growing old and they are passing, and a new generation has arose, okay, to go in. So this is where Moses, okay, was writing. So in verse 1, so we're going to read a couple of verses there, okay, to explore and we expound a bit, all right? Now, verse 1, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that you may live, and increase and may enter the process, to possess the land the Lord promise on earth to your ancestor. Now, in this verse 1 itself, Moses is saying, hey guys, remember this. God has a covenant for you. God has a promise for you. Probably there was a verse that God has promised you. There's a verse that God has given to each and every one of you. There is a covenant for you guys, okay, that Moses was saying. So what are we supposed to do, okay, with this covenant? Okay, in verse 1, I was asking the question, what should you do, okay, with the commandments that God has given us? In that verse says, follow. Follow every command. Other versions say follow whole command. Okay, it's not one. It's not two. I only follow 10% only. Okay, there are 10, but I only follow one. No, sorry to tell you that. The Bible tells us you follow every command. And how are you supposed to follow the every command? The Bible says, be careful, okay, to follow every of those, okay, command. Now, with that, right, if you don't follow every command, there are a lot of things in this world, I only choose this. Friend, when you, in the commandment of the Lord, if you only choose to choose this, you form a new religion. That's why so many cults and so many wrong teaching around the world, okay, because they just speak and choose. All right, have you heard this about, because speak and choose, you open the Bible, okay, what it says? What it says? Judas hanged himself. Hey, no, no, that's not for me. They turn another one. Go and do likewise. So you got to choose all this scripture, friends. It's not going to work, all right? Now, so you underform your own religion. So Bible says, follow the whole commandment and carefully follow it, all right? Now, some of us are children, some of us are parents, okay? You have your children and all those, you tell them, okay, today, you sweep the floor. How many of you like, okay, your son sweep the floor, but that corner, he doesn't sweep. He wipe all the dust, but when it comes to this part, he doesn't wipe his kid because his brother one, I don't like him. Okay, all right, okay? So when this Bible talks about wipe means wipe, how many of you like, I talked to one guy who serviced the aeroplane one, all right? So I got a short conversation with him. I said, what do you do? Oh, I service the plane. So when I remove the cover, I have to count every screw. First screw, second screw, third screw, fourth screw, fifth screw. He numbered them, he knows, all right? Every screw. How do you like? Left one screw, never mind lah. Cannot, okay? Cannot, doesn't work like that. Now, yesterday, you use your finger very well, right? Yes. Now, the command when we read the Old Testament, always refer to the Ten Commandments. There are also other commandments, all right? Commandments. Do you have 10 fingers? All right. Do you know how to remember the Ten Commandments? Today, I'll help you not only use your one finger, but use your 10 fingers. Okay, number one. Okay, you all show your finger. All have 10 fingers? All right, got 10 fingers. Okay, number one, you shall not have other gods. So there's only one God. Okay, if you want to show this, Ken, you only have one God. Only one God, okay? One God. Number two, you shall not have idols. So this is two, but you also can do like that. You shall not bow, okay, to any idols. All right, you don't bow, all right? Number three, what's number three? Number three is do not take the Lord's word in vain. How many of you are scouts and you take the oath? All right, so many places, this is a name. Okay, some of the slang language, okay, the name. Okay, do not take God's name, okay, in vain. Number fourth, keep your Sabbath. All do like fourth. Okay, this is one thing you don't do now, huh? Tidur, all right? Number five is you shall honor your father and mother. Probably some of our culture are not like that. Some culture is whenever they meet the elderly or their parents, they will smell the finger. Hey, do you smell the potato smell, you know? Okay. Or they put their forehead because there's a gesture, okay? How they honor the father, mother. Okay. Number six, you shall not murder. Kill, do not murder. All right? Otherwise, this is also six, right? Pang, pang. All right, now. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. Seven. Okay, this is also seven. Friends, you shall not commit adultery. Okay, when you're married, two. It's not you and five partners. They want another five partners. No. All right? So it's only husband and wife. Eight, okay, you shall not steal. Okay, so not steal. Eight. Now, in some culture and some, rules that they have, if anybody were to steal, they potong. No more time. Okay. Number nine is you shall not bear false witnesses. So what's number nine? It's like this, right? So let me tell you, four is four, five is five, five is not four, four is not five. Number ten, this ten. Ten is what? You shall not covet. Semua ambil masuk pocket. Someone trying to say, so careful, okay, to obey, okay, all commandments the Lord has given you, the covenant that God has given you. So when you go for dinner or you go any place, all right, you have 10 fingers, right, and 10 toes. Do you say, okay, I leave my two thumb behind? No, all the 10's going to follow you, all 10 toes going to follow you. Anybody got 11 toes? No, okay. All right, so that's one. Be careful, okay, to obey those, okay, commandments. All right, now, let's move on. Talking about careful is that word, first time use was in Genesis. God called Adam to to work it and keep it. This word keep is the word careful, okay, to follow, keep. Did Adam do well? No, sorry. He allowed, okay, the devil to come in. So because Adam didn't do well, God had to send the angel. Because that part, careful, was given to Adam, which is also each and every one of us, all right, given. But because he failed, God had to send angel. Angel came with a sword. Star Wars was there, okay, at the beginning. All right, let's move on. Now, so in verse 11, that relate to that is that, but at this time, is to be careful, the word careful, beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey His command, regulation, and decrees that I'm giving you today. We are all human, right? When we have plenty, well, we forget God already. Right? Two, I have stories about, Pastor, I don't have husband. Please pray for me. Well, pray, well, then you got husband, oh. But after that, I don't see her anymore. Shouldn't I pray for her for us? Oh, yeah, no, just kidding. Okay. Now, so when you think about God's covenant, what is this God's covenant? You probably memorize John 3:16. Friend, this is something probably you want to remember, all right? What's God's covenant? Okay, it's a long passage there. But this is something that I show you. I just turn my back. Okay, you see, what are you going to pray? You see what God will do? He said, when you keep and you obey, listen and keep, God will do what? He will love you. All right, He will love you and bless you. All right, He will give you many children. Bukan satu, okay, many children. Okay, He will give you fertility to your land and your animals. So if you have one chicken, and you have two chicken, maybe you need two chicken first. All right, now, don't say when I was young, right? We say we buy one chicken, buy one duck, and buy one fish. Okay, so, that's so funny because we wanted to raise some pets, want to have some pets. Okay, now, when you arrive in the land and He saw to give you your ancestor, you have large harvests, new wine, olive oil, great herds, okay, of cattle, sheep, and goats. You will be blessed above all the nation of the earth. None of your men and women will be childless, and all your livestock will bear young, and the Lord will protect you from all sickness. He will not let you suffer from the terrible disease you knew in Egypt, but He will inflict them on your enemies. Wow, that's the covenant given to the children of Israel. It's like they are so invisible. Not invisible, invisible. Okay, different word. Okay, all right now. So that is the covenant. Moses is reminding them. That's why you have the ability to produce wealth. Okay, that's number one. I don't know how I'm going to finish. Okay, number two. The Lord is leading you. Remember that, number two, the Lord, your God, led you all the way in the wilderness for 40 years. You think about 40 years. The generation, when they leave, okay, Egypt, already 40 years. And Moses is right now writing Deuteronomy, okay, telling, okay, the children of Israel. So those youngs, when the age of, I don't know, 2, 3, as you cross the Jordan River, cross the Red Sea, you all those seas, and they see all these creature, octopus, and all those, they cross. Now they grew up. They are 40 years old now. What happened? What they observed? Friends, they have observed, they have seen, they have experienced the marvelous and wonderful thing in their 40 years. They saw the pillar of cloud that protects them. They saw the pillar of fire at night. No TNB. They have these lights. It's just amazing. Never of this ever happened again. And they experienced, this new generation, they experienced all these wonders of God. Can you see that? Do you know who is watching? All the enemies around watching. They don't dare to touch them. Only when they disobey, God allow, okay, them to be judged. All right, so they experience this. So with that, in all that that's taking place, friends, God is leading them. Although they have people who go against Moses, God look at them, oh, disobedient. Sorry, no lampu for you. No more lights for you to talk. Friends, even in their worst scenario, the pillar of light, fire was there, the pillar of cloud was there because God has a covenant. In your ups and down, God is leading you. Even in our nation, in our ups and downs, we're going to believe, okay, God is on the throne, okay, and He is leading us, all right? Now, just a quick one on this. In their wilderness, how many people were there? The answer is, you can find it in Exodus. He says that the people of Israel journeyed from Ramesses, okay, to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot. 6,000. How many believe you were in your police station? No, not police station, polling station. Okay. 600,000. So beside women and children. So let's say everybody has one wife. It is, because they only believe, okay, one wife. All right, 600,000. That means, and let's say they have one child. How huge of the people that Moses are leading? It's 1.8 million. All right, okay, now. Continue to say, a mixed multitude also went up with them. So they are of other nations that follow them. All right. Basically, Moses is leading more than 2 million people. Is it easy to lead more than 2 million people? It's very easy. That's why you read the story. The children of Israel are known as people who are murmur, complain, never stop, man. All right. And that is where Moses are leading them. Now, friends, all of us, we so busy in life. We are so stressed up, true. So when I think of Moses, how big is your life group? 8 people, 10 people, and we're so stressed. How big is your family? Husband and wife and 2 children, they fight all the time. A friend here, if you read the Bible, this 1 million, 2 million people, they grumble and complain all the time. And Moses are leading them. So when you think about it, no, so stressful. You just need to rely on God, okay, to lead you. All right, now, number 3. The Lord is testing you. First, you have a covenant. 2, the Lord is leading you. So whatever thing that you're going through right now, that you think there's, no way, no hope. Friends, you look back and you reflect. God is leading you. Number 3, the Lord is testing you. Verse 2 continue. It says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what is in your heart, whether or not you will keep His commandment. Do you like to... I know every one of us don't like to take tests. How many of you like to take tests? We got car tests. Okay, we got exam test, student, SPM test, so many tests, right? Pop quiz test. Today, got COVID test. Never heard of, okay, for the past, decades, okay? Now, every time it's COVID test, all right, now. Antigen test. Do you know that when God tests them, it's not that God don't know what is in your heart. God knows. God tests us for us to know what is in our heart. All of us don't like to be tested, but we like to test everything. When you drink the water, when somebody gives you without a label, now drink lah. Will you drink? If it's from your father, someone you know, you drink lah. But somebody outside there pass you a water, but there's no label and all those. Okay. No label one. Okay, then got label one. Okay, this one got label, so I can drink. Okay, all right. We scared, right? We test almost everything. This one, real story. How many of you, when you're very young, you go with your mother, grandmother to buy clothes? So when your grandmother and mother go and buy clothes, you buy the clothes, right? They test. Zip. Cannot buy. Test again. This one can buy. And they test and then go through, right? Wow, can see through. Cannot buy. And none of you grow up like that. Oh dear. We test almost everything. Let me tell you that the Lord is leading them. The Lord also tests them because for them to know, okay, what is in their heart. Right? So sometimes we can serve God. Sometimes we can show a face that everything is so good. But inside us, only God knows. All right? So there's a verse in the Bible that says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Forever one soul. Okay, that He also reap. So in other words, all right, then when God tests us, okay, in our heart, is to for us to know, okay, what is down deep in our heart, although we appear, okay, very good, because God knows the intents, our thoughts, okay, and our heart. Okay, that's number three. Okay, number four. The Lord is providing for you. How many of you love God's provide, okay, everything for you? In verse 3, it says, He humble you, causing you to hunger. I know, time 12 o'clock already. Are you hungry? I heard just now announcement, got some food outside. Okay, now. And only for the visitors only. Okay, now. And then, feeding you with manna, okay, which neither you nor your ancestor had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Sounds familiar? All right? And your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Wow. How many of you still wearing your primary school? Okay. Amazing, right? This kind of story. All right, now. God calls us to be hungry. You know, when you're hungry, every fruit tastes so nice. Yes, true. When you are full, you don't even want to touch, although it's the best food in town. God calls us, okay, to be hungry so that you know it's God, okay, who provides, okay, that you know, okay, that God, okay, is providing for each and every one of us, that you know, okay, when God provides, it's more than enough. So when you think about, God talk about the manna, God provides them manna because they are complaining over everything. So God, cut story short, is that God produced, sent manna from heaven. What is this manna? If you search, the meaning of manna is, what is it? Okay, what is it? So the people came out, after Moses telling them, people came out, then they look at the manna. What is it? What is it? What is it? Now, this is the language we know. For them is, they go out, manna, manna, manna. So they are saying, what is it? What is it? I go have one joke you want to hear, right? No, no, no hard feelings, okay? Right. So they said that how America got its name. So who founded America? So history probably tell you Christopher Columbus. So when Christopher Columbus having his expedition and he saw this land, what with him was some remnant from China who came with them, who spoke Cantonese. Then when Christopher Columbus said, what is that? Then all of them say, America. This one you clap, huh? So now, man, now, what is this? What is this? Man, now I will say, right, it's the miracle bread, okay, that God has provided for Israel. And they eat this manna. I don't know how bored they are for 40 years. Same, same. For me, same. Every time you cook, same. Don't change one. Or sometimes you go to the restaurant, order the same thing. My second son is the best, all right? So he, every restaurant we go, what do you like to eat? Fried egg. Until the waiter, so no, okay, number one, fried egg. Make life so easy. All right, praise the Lord. Now, talking about that, right? God supplies miracle bread. How many of you read in the Bible for the 40 years, they got heart attack? Cholesterol. High cholesterol. Ayah, kidney sick. Friends, it's a miracle bread that God provide for them. No sickness come upon them. Wow. That's why when you go to Middle East, right, everything they serve you bread. Breakfast bread, lunch bread, evening bread. Before your lunch, bread. Oh, bread, bread, bread. Well, you eat all this bread and they are juicy and they are delicious. When the meal, main meal comes, full already. There's something about, okay, the bread, all right? Now, God calls the children of Israel, okay, hungry, so that God is saying that one day you not only to feed on this bread. So that's why in that verse says, that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Where did this verse reappear again in the Bible? When Jesus was led into the wilderness. Let me give the, okay, this is a banner. I know you're hungry. I'm trying not to show you first. After you go, first thing is roti canai. All right, now. All right, now. So this is about the bread from heaven. All right, now. In chapter 8 itself, verse 11. Now, it's a pattern that you look. That's why when you say careful, it was a pattern because right from the Garden of Eden, this is another pattern you could see. Jesus was in the wilderness. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, Jesus answered this, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Where was it taken? Deuteronomy. Did Jesus read the book of Deuteronomy? Yes. If Jesus read, should all of us read? Yes. So tell your neighbor, let him write. Read, huh? Okay, now. Now, I want to give you the pattern. Who led the children of Israel in the wilderness? God. Who led Jesus into the wilderness? God, by the Holy Spirit. All right? The children of Israel were hungry. Was Jesus hungry? Yes. When the children of Israel were hungry, what were they fed on? What happened to them? They complained. And then God sent them manna. So they got bread for heaven, miracle bread. Was Jesus hungry? Yes. But what did he do? He fasted. Here, 40 years. Here, 40 days. How many of us realize that they can get to the promised land in less than 40 years? Maybe 40 days, maybe 4 years. But here Jesus was the perfect man who is the perfect sacrifice. He came to show example what the children of Israel couldn't do and fail, he did. What Adam failed in the Garden of Eden, Jesus, okay, show he's the perfect man, okay, that Christ Jesus came to be our Lord and Savior, all right? So Jesus, not only that he was hungry, not only that he obeyed, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, okay, that proceeds from the mouth of God. You amen? All right, now, as I close, number 5, why? Why God give you the ability to produce wealth? Why when you have 1 chicken, 2 chicken, you have 100 of chicken? I mean, I use chicken now, so it could be car business and all those. Friends, number 5 is that the Lord has a purpose for you. What is this purpose? The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do that you may live and multiply, all right? And go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. What's the purpose here? I mean, thinking about children of Israel, okay, their purpose is to enter the promised land. Now for us, friends, where are you going? What's your purpose? There's a place called your workplace. There's a place called your own community, your kampong, okay, your taman, okay, your condo. Okay? There's a place where probably it's the younger one in the school, in your college. There's a place. What do you do there? When you apply so hard, okay, to get into the institution, okay, the college, what do you do there? You apply so hard to get to this company and you are there. And you pray, God answer your prayer. Friend, he says here, go in and possess the land the Lord has sworn into to give to your fathers. When you enter the place, friends, there are people. There are people that you go to meet. There are people that you go to engage. What you do with them. Friends, number 5, the Lord has, okay, a purpose for each and every one of us. When you think about, wow, God has the ability for us to produce wealth. Why you need so much money? True, right? You think about it. Wow, for us, okay, to bless. For us, okay, it's a place that God has going to place us in. And there's a place that you're going to have to impact. There's a place, there's a people group, okay, do you need to engage. I'm so happy, okay, that how every nation, Malaysia, okay, has expanded. Okay, tomorrow, okay, we're going to fly to Bali, all right? And we have this built Southeast Asia. And we're talking about expansion. Okay, the work that you guys are doing is so amazing. In Penang, we look at the Penang as island. Actually, in 5-10 minutes, we actually go everywhere. Go everywhere in Penang already, all right? So I'm looking at cross the bridge. What can we do? After cross the bridge, the next ripple, what can we do? A lot of things like that, all right? There is a place. There's God has a purpose for you to fulfill. There's a land for you to go and possess. And there's a people group that you were engaged. Can we go, amen? So bring it back to the close. What does it mean for God that, to say that it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth? The Lord has a covenant for you. And that covenant is powerful. The Lord is leading you. Sometimes you don't see it yet, but you close your eye and see, wow, actually in all the ups and downs, the Lord is leading me. The Lord is testing me. Okay, because God wants one, because the thing is, normally you cannot see it, right? It's somebody have to tell you, all right? So with that test, God wants to reveal that what's in our heart. And every juncture is that God is providing for you because He has a purpose for you. Can I go to amen? All right, shall we pray? Amen. Let's give Jesus a big hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I want to commit all of us into your hands. Father, as we do this series, okay, on finances, they've done three parts on what Jesus said about money. Father, even as we look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, that you ask us to remember. Father, I pray for each and every one of us that we remember the days of our small beginning, how God has led us from that point. And each point that we go through, Lord, we see the ups and downs. Probably many of us has prospered in many ways. And I also pray, Lord God, even in that moment, that also we could reflect, wow, how God has blessed me, that I could also use that. There's a purpose, like we're reminded, okay, of the purpose of God, okay, in our life. Okay, there is a workplace we have. There's a business that we are doing. There is a people group, okay, that we need to engage. Help us, Lord, okay, to see, okay, and remember, okay, the mission and the vision, Lord, that they've given each and every one of us. Father, today I commit all of us into your hands. Bless each and every one. And also probably pray, some of us probably going through the toughest time, okay, in your business world, the toughest time in your relationship, your toughest time in your finances. But hold it on. Hang it on there. Because when you reflect, when you remember, okay, the first promise that God has given you, when you remember, okay, how God has led you through all the worst time in your life, and you believe that God will do it again for each and every one of you. Father, I ask that you bless each one, prosper each and every one of us, so that, oh God, Lord, that we live a life so honored you and our calling, okay, as every nation to make disciples. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone say, amen. Can I give Jesus a big hand? Thank you.